Hollywood's biggest, most elaborate, most expensive studio stage set of all time is constructed before your eyes. 500 miles of wire, 100 tons of structural steel, acres of wood, carloads of nails, barrels of paint, and only one thing is missing to complete it all. The Super Nut. And here he is. Girl-shy, woman-hating Jerry Lewis is a ladies' man?
I love you, Sherry.
What are you, crazy lady?
Jerry finds a haven of happiness as a handyman in a Hollywood hotel for girls only. Only man in this establishment where the females are more delicious than the food. And when you see it, you'll agree he's never had it so funny.
I'm not moving!
Aha! Well, at least you got a double that time. That's a two-bagger, Miss Bellin's Bellin.
Hi, honey.
Hello, welcome to Movie Humpers. My name is Bob Sham.
Hi, I'm Angela.
The sounds of your maybe dogs, and this month we are talking about some awkward our topic is awkward laughter to the flop, which we analyze a lot of movies that didn't really make the bank when they first came out, but are reanalyzed decades later. But a guy who did make money, the guy who definitely made money and had a lot of faith in the studios and his prime is a man named Jerry Lewis. So for three Mondays this month, he didn't flop in these movies, but he is a guy that has influenced probably a lot of what we'll be discussing this month. And this one, this week we are discussing, The Ladies' Man from 1961, directed by Jerry Lewis. And Paramount Pictures, they gave him quite a budget.
Oh, yeah.
They built like a four-story dollhouse for him that took up two sound stages. And I gotta give credit, you know, just to give the compliments out early. Mm-hmm. I thought as far as overall, you know, directing and technique and, you know, the cinematography, I thought this was, you know, watching this movie, looking at this movie was actually very enjoyable.
Absolutely. It's a beautiful movie. That's the only thing I really remembered of it. I remembered that he didn't like women, and I remembered the set, and that there were like way too many women to be living in this house. But yeah, that's the part of it that when I was a kid, I wanted to live.
Yeah.
It was like a dollhouse. I wanted to live in it.
With all these ladies.
There's a point where they zoom out.
Yeah.
They couldn't get far enough within the soundstage to show the whole thing at one time. It was crazy.
So a lot of the shots in this movie where Jerry or other characters are moving throughout this hotel that only allows women to stay or something like that.
It's a house. The woman who owns the house wanted to have a bunch of children with her husband. She was an opera singer, but he died really early. So she had this giant house. So she got lucky when she was young to become this famous opera singer. So she lets women stay there for free if they're pursuing the arts, which is why all these women are actors, dancers, musicians, poets, whatever. So, that's why they're all leaning that way.
So the camera will pan like as they go through rooms, the camera will move almost like you can see through the walls mm-hmm. and see how everything is set up. And yeah, it's kind of a sharp, like you get the concept of it and kind of like the visual concept of the movie.
You know, I've commented, and I didn't realize until I was watching this movie that I think it's because of this movie. I've commented in other films that one of my favorite camera tricks to do, and we saw this in Europa, is where you kind of go over a wall and see what's on both sides at the same time, like you're going through the building. That's one of my favorite things. And I think this movie instilled that in me.
Now, we established last week as we talked about the legacy of Jerry Lewis, or we observed that the legacy of Jerry Lewis is children's programming today. And shit that kids find humorous or funny. Disney kids shows, Nickelodeon kids shows, and TikTok dances or whatever, people being very strangely expressive for whatever wacky reason, that is the legacy of Jerry Lewis. You know, Jerry was not like universally beloved. He was big internationally. It's true. He made a lot of money. But was this something that I really want to know, was this something that like adults at the time were like, this is some funny shit? Mm. Or would it, is it kind of like the audience today where it seems to be kids were more into it than anything? Because now we see this style and it falls to the kid demographic almost purely.
It's a good question.
Because in this movie, I feel like the movie's trying to be a little sophisticated in mm-hmm. some ways. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jerry's character in and of itself is not sophisticated. Looking at the cast list here, some of the women, they're called Miss Anxious, Miss Vitality, Miss Society, Miss Intellect and Working Girl, Miss Sexy Pot. Like these women who most of their names you don't know that are just all around him. They're supposed to embody some aspect of culture of the feminine side of things.
Yeah, and the setup for this movie is so simple. He graduates community college in his very small town, and on the day of his graduation, he sees his girlfriend Faith with another man. Now, was she even really his girlfriend? I don't know. He said something about how my childhood sweetheart was going to be my aged bride or something. Also, his mother is played by himself.
Mama, I'll never home again. Oh, Philip, what could happen to that job? Oh, my baby.
Oh,
dear. Oh, my child.
That was laugh at that.
Funny. When they weren't showing her face, I couldn't remember why. I was like, there's something. There's something.
Yeah,
she looks crazy.
On?
What's happening? I couldn't remember. And as soon as they show, because they don't even try to make her look pretty, she's got like, she just looks insane.
I appreciate that you didn't misgender Jerry Lewis playing his own mother as he was playing his own mother.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. So he decides he needs to get out of town because his heart is broken, his love is gone, and he goes to Hollywood and he wants to find a job. And everywhere he goes, the second he knocks on the door, a girl throws themselves at him.
Oh, why you are the American for this job. I love you, Sherry.
What are you, crazy lady?
Yeah, the job market's really good at this this point.
Like, what are these jobs? So he realizes that literally the bus stop he keeps coming back to across the street has a bachelor wanted sign in the door. So he goes over there and knocks.
And he talks to this lady as played by Helen Trauble.
Mm-hmm.
And she works there and
she's the Katie the cook.
He straight up tells her that, like, you know, I'm afraid of women, essentially.
I hate women.
That was the moment I knew I hated girls. Because there, right before my very baby blue eyes, was a girl with another person. And then I decided that my life was over and a bachelor I shall be. Woe is me, oh, Faith. Faith, why?
That's the saddest thing I ever heard.
But she fails to tell him that this is some kind of like boarding house for women in the arts, as you had said earlier. Like, the house is chock full of women. But, you know, the women who run it are over the age of 35. So there's no problem there. He's not His dick is, he's not freaking the fuck out.
When he sees Katie the cook, he literally jumps in her arms and starts yelling, I'm safe, I'm finally safe. And then he meets Miss Welland Mellon, who is the opera singer.
Yes.
Who owns the whole house, and she's, like you said, an older lady. So they tell him, Katie literally says to Miss Welland Mellon, we'll tell him in the morning about the house. Like, don't scare him away. We find out later they can't keep a guy longer than 3 days.
How not? Why do you need a bachelor? Two, how can you not keep a guy in a house full of women in their 20s?
I think in this context, even though it's not what we know bachelor to mean, I do think it sort of means like, I'm not interested in women.
They want an eccentric man, as they might call them back in the day.
Right. They want a confirmed bachelor, which basically means he's not going to be chasing any of the girls.
That's not what a bachelor is. No. A bachelor may not want to be in a relationship, but he's going to try to throw ropes in all of these women.
Right.
Now, there's another aspect to this movie, and we're going to get into these jokes. The same reason I'm not going to laugh at, like, the Nickelodeon kids show for whatever reason. I mean, this is one of those movies where it's like I can narrow it down. Like in The Delicate Delinquent, I had about 4 or 5 laughs.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably no different here.
Yeah.
But this movie, it seems to be some kind of weird fetish fantasy. Like, he's like the lady in Repulsion, but a guy.
Yeah.
And I posited that maybe there was some kind of weird, like, kind of sensual, sexual thing to that character in Repulsion being repulsed by men. Like, there's something almost fetishistic about it.
Mm.
And I kind of feel the same way here. There's a few things we can touch base on, but I think this whole movie seems like one big humiliation kink.
Well, Herbert, don't just stand there. Haven't you anything to say?
Ma?
That paired with the fact that gorgeous women are constantly chasing him.
Yeah.
Like, it's that, like, repulsion kink or whatever, but also the fact that, like, everyone wants to fuck him.
Yeah.
And maybe not necessarily to that extent. He does form a relationship with Faye. She's the only one not trying to get in his pants, but as we find out, she's actually falling in love with him.
And he does manage to kind of be around them at some point without screaming for his mother, which is what would happen when pretty women were initially around him.
There were a few inconsistencies, though, to where he would respond normally, and then he would scream for his ma. It was very weird.
Jerry has to drag himself and humiliate himself. I'm sorry, his name is Herbert Hebert,
yes,
by the way. Herbert H. Hebert, Herbert Hebert. Yeah, he has to scream and screech in front of these women because they're so pretty and so young, mm-hmm, and he can't control himself. And that's how he gets off. That's how he fills his jeans.
He also continuously is trying to leave. And Miss Welland Mellon has this conversation with all the girls. It's truly like 100 girls. And she says to them, we have to keep him. We always lose them in 3 days. So if ever you think he's going to leave, ask him to do something. He wants to feel needed. So they're making up things for him to do.
He's a building tenant, essentially, just like in the last movie of his we discussed.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically, yeah, he's like a handyman houseboy.
Yeah, and also not good at it.
No. And there's this running gag about Miss Welland Mellon's baby, who is her pet, who stays in one room and never comes out, and he has to feed it. And it sounds like a lion, so you think it's a lion. It's a beagle.
Well, there's a scene where he's feeding it milk and it throws the milk, sprays it back in his face.
Yeah.
And we're led to believe that the milk's going back into his face, but we've reached another fetish point.
Oh, there. Yeah. 100.
You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
He got cum blasted.
Yep. Sure did.
In front of these girls, which leads into the humiliation kink. The baby is a
basset hound or is he a
basset hound, yeah, puppy.
I said beagle, but
then at the end, an actual lion shows up, which I kind of thought would be a lion. But then, like, you know the kind of comedy.
Yeah, it's not. There's nothing.
I will say that Jerry's, like, very physical. Like,
he's
in fantastic shape. When you really see, like, the movements and how he's He's constantly going up and down the stairs.
He does all of that himself. Like, no one's doing that stuff for him.
He's holding himself up on, like, the overhead of a door frame. Some real skill here in terms of physical execution, no doubt.
He was crazy in shape through his life until he stopped making these kind of movies. You know? And then you sort of started seeing him, like, on the telethons and things. Like, he did get heavier and a little, like, sweatier and...
Let me see if you want my pants to come off.
Yeah.
You know, there were a few moments in this movie, though, where he just looked greasy.
Yeah.
But it might be all the, like, I'm assuming Brill cream. Well, that my papa used Brill cream, so I think it was probably Brill cream.
Well, apparently Mel Brooks wrote on this movie, but he and Jerry did not get along. Apparently it was, I don't think they were friends, but Jerry kicked Mel Brooks off and went to the Writers Guild to... approve him to be off the script, and maybe he didn't write a certain percentage or something. He also fired one of his cinematographers. It seems like behind the scenes, we do get a very control freak Jerry Lewis here.
I'm sure that Mel Brooks was trying to, I mean, he's
a guy who was literally consistently funny for generations.
Absolutely. He's so good at what he does, and I'm sure that he was trying to make suggestions that butted up against what Jerry wanted, and Jerry is not, I don't think, someone who can be said no. Like, he doesn't take a no from someone. Like, maybe he's Jerry was the like, boss.
What do you mean you gotta have that joke written in there? I can just go over here, bite on my knuckles, and cross my eyes.
Yeah.
Like, get out of my
studio. What do you mean it doesn't make any sense? Yeah. Who cares? Yes. So what if you find out later that it's a puppy? It can eat a whole huge piece of meat in one gulp.
Okay, Jerry. That's my Mel Brooks impression.
Well, listen, it's not like this fucking hurt Mel Brooks at all.
I love the character as Faye. Who apparently was like a ballerina because she does a routine and she seemed very good. But Faye is the girl who's not pretty enough to get the roles. And she's totally pretty. But she is kind of presented as like the ugly duckling of this house.
And she's always the sad one, too.
And she's the sad one and she's depressed. And we're noticing real quick there has to be a pattern of heartfelt something in every Jerry Lewis movie. Mm-hmm. And she like stands up to defend this guy near the end when they're talking about what they need done.
Does anybody need Herbert for anything else? I wonder if any of you have ever really needed Herbert just to sit down and talk to. Well, I did. He's really very smart and very nice, too. He'd make a wonderful guy for some girl if she really needed him.
We just use him, and it's like, he works as a tenant in this building. That's what you're supposed to do.
I'll admit, it's nice to be needed, really needed. But to tell somebody you need them just so they'll stay around and run errands for you, that's not so nice.
Also, there's a TV show where you think you're going to see Miss Wellmelon sing opera on the show.
But you don't. We did hear her sing early on, but not on the show. Well, he ruins the show.
Yeah, he gets his cufflinks stuck to her brooch or something.
When they're prepping for the show, you pointed out another fetish where the audio guy wants him to check the mic upstairs because he's standing near it, and he yells into the mic, and the guy is somehow thrown into the couch with the cushions on top of him.
Yes.
And I don't know about the couch fetish, but I do know about the rolling up in a carpet fetish.
This guy is going to lay on me. He finds himself in the couch. He is there to get sat on, and they can squish down into him.
Yeah, so we've got the couch fetish.
There is one part that I actually thought, you know, for a fleeting moment, right? You know, Jerry Lewis has always split audiences, except in France. They love him there. But I actually thought there was some brilliant fucking piece of comedy in this movie. There's this fellow, this comedic actor named Buddy Lester, who has joined Jerry Lewis in a few movies. And in this movie, he plays a mobster type, a very jealous mobster type named Willard C. Gainsborough. Now, this bit starts off as, like, you know, an exhausted, like, overtly physical. It starts off like it's going to be lame, And he takes his hat and he's like, put my hat back on.
He sat on his hat.
Do you know that you better get up and give me my hat?
And he sat on his hat accidentally.
Fix the hat.
Then he's putting the hat back on his head.
I don't like it that way.
And so for like a minute, you're like, oh my God, this bit's going to go on. And then the camera is behind Jerry while he's continuously like shoving this hat all around his head.
Is that all right? No.
It's messing up his hair and he's like, I don't like the hat.
And then Jerry's like combing that. His hair.
Comb my hair. Yeah. Comb my hair. That's better.
And then Jerry's combing his hair, and the camera has Jerry's back is to it while Buddy Lester is making like a stone dead face, commenting how he likes his hat and how he wants his
sweating.
And he just starts sweating, and Jerry breaks.
I'll get that off. You better. Is that good now? I can't see out of my left eye now. Get the hat off!
He breaks character
multiple times.
We've seen this now ad nauseum. Like now, like SNL knows that the crowd reacts when you break in skits. Jimmy, what's that?
Fallon.
Yeah, like he was known for doing that.
Yeah.
Look, every once in a while, that's great. But like on SNL, it became some thing. It feels special here because this character of Willard Gainsborough, he's a tough guy. He's threatening Jerry. He's gonna fuck him up. If he disrespects him or tries to look at his girl. But as Jerry is fucking with this hat for an absurdly long time and trying to fix his hair, this character just consigns to the Jerry Lewis-ness of it all. He suddenly falls into the black hole that is Jerry Lewis. He's no longer the alpha male in that scenario. Mm-hmm. He's lost in the void of the Lewis. He is lost. He has failed. Jerry Lewis is now the dominant man in that scene. And as he's making little comments, he's like,
it's my eyebrow. No. What happened to my head?
How long was this whole bit all in all? 5 minutes, maybe 4 minutes?
Probably not even that long, but it felt long.
For this bit, Jerry Lewis made a masterpiece.
Yeah. It's a good bit.
Buddy Lester's character was enveloped and defeated by the zany nuttiness that was Jerry Lewis. And this scene works because Jerry has an actual straight man, a legit comedian, to kind of play off. And it works so well that Jerry himself is cracking.
Yeah.
And can't even look straight into the camera.
And there's a callback to it that is legitimately funny as well, where... this makes no sense, but Jerry's fixing the elevator and the doorbell rings and he pulls his hands out and he's covered in oil and he goes and answers. He's trying to get someone else. He's like, Katie. He's dirty.
Fisting,
he opens the door.
Fisting fetish.
And it's our man again, but he's wearing all white, white hat, white suit, white tie. And he literally is like, no, and like runs away. And that's it. And it's cute.
Yeah.
Because they don't go through the whole thing again. Jerry doesn't even touch him or get him dirty. But it's just this thing of Jerry has put such a fucking mark on this guy that he worked up the courage to be like, I don't fucking care. I'm going to go. That kid's not going to mess with me. And then he comes out with these like grease hands and he's like, ah. No,
he's not the tough mobster anymore.
It's wonderful.
He got bottomed by Jerry Lewis. his nutty void spiral. So, I guess we're just trying to think of other, like, funny rant. I mean, there's no story here.
No.
Really.
No. So. I mean, you know, yeah, Jerry is learning things from the other girls. Oh, there's a really bizarre point where there's one door he's not supposed to knock on.
This is another fetish scene.
And he finally knocks on it, and he doesn't knock. He decides to go in, because Katie always stops him when he starts to knock on the door. He goes in, and it's all white. Everything is white in this room. And then he finds this woman upside down, hanging completely in black.
Bondage, yeah.
Yes. And so he, like, pulls her down, and
this is like
they dance.
A proto-new wave goth lady here.
She's all, yeah, because she's wearing all white makeup. And like she has like bright blue eyeshadow and like bright lips, but she's whited out and she's wearing all black. And they dance, and her wall comes up, and it's like outside, and there's a big band. It's like he's all of a sudden in a dream.
Yeah.
Oh, the sets are gorgeous.
Yeah.
But yeah, so all of a sudden it's like he's in a dream, and then that ends, and he gets outside the door, but he's still holding her face mask thing, and he's like, wah! And like throws it.
Yeah.
Because then he realizes, because at first he was like, that didn't really happen, but then he has the proof it did. So.
Yeah, that was definitely an interesting fetish scene as well.
But at the end, Faye says, we should stop making up things for him to do just because we don't want him to leave. And he goes to leave again, and he doesn't actually go. He goes to leave again, but he expects them to stop him. So that's also something, because he's continuing to try to leave for them to beg him to stay. And they don't beg him to stay this time because Faye's made this argument. And he's like, well, are you guys mad at me? Like, what happened?
Yeah.
And she stands up and she's like, we want you to stay because we like you, but we're not going to like, if you want to go, we want you to go. Like, you need to live your own life, basically. And he's like, I don't want to go. I'll never leave, you know, and then that's it.
There's also like, you know, musical dance numbers where actual dancers are doing the real dancing. But Jerry is nimble enough and physical enough to where, even though he's not like a pure dancer, he seems to kind of contribute to the athleticism of the scenes based on his physicality.
Yeah.
And that is another aspect of at least what he can bring that I did appreciate in the movie.
The one thing that we did get when they were filming the television show is a full song by one of the girls. And I was just waiting for him to step in and mess it up, but he never did. Like, she just sang a song in its entirety.
Yeah, it's like half in French or whatever.
Yeah.
For the real fans overseas, right?
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, but probably, for sure.
And, that's essentially the ladies' man.
Yeah.
Definitely nicer to look at than last week. Great set. They gave him some money.
Yeah.
And he sure as fuck used it. But we're going to rate this 1 through 5, combined for best out of 10. What do you give the ladies' man, directed, and not too badly, by Jerry Lewis?
3. I do think the direction was good, and the set was just gorgeous to look at. Like, it's just fun to look at. I mean, the plot sucks, but...
Comedy's subjective, but we're not laughing that much watching this movie, you know?
No.
But in terms of technique and execution, we'll give Jerry some credit.
It did what it was supposed to do.
And I'll up it to 3. I think this is... I suspect this will be the best Jerry Lewis movie we'll see.
Yeah.
So it gets a respectable 6. So take a look here, folks, at a rating of a 6, right at the bottom of the B's. It shares the rankings with movies like Cocaine Bear, Live and Let Die, Taste the Blood of Dracula, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. The Ladies' Man is at least as good as those movies, if not better. I would say it's probably better directed than a couple of those.
Yeah, that's true.
But there you go. So like, subscribe, leave a comment. What do you think about the Ladies' Man? Comments, corrections. Just let us know anything you want to know. But so long as you like it, and or at least subscribe to the channel. We like that. We had a lot of new subscribers from Noir Month. And let's keep that train going.
Hell yeah.
All right. We got one more Jerry Lewis movie, and then it's coasting all comedy flops for the rest of the month. All right. Let's get out of here.
Justice to Ishtar.
Comb my hair. Comb my hair.
And if you gaze long enough into an abyss...
That's better. Out of my head.
The abyss will gaze back into you.
What you do with the little lining?